Hi, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Natasha Moore.
And I'm Simon Smart.
Post-apocalyptic dystopias seem to be all the rage at the moment, and especially in teen fiction, from The Hunger Games to the Divergent series. The Australian answer to these blockbuster books and movies could very well be Claire Zorn's book, The Sky So Heavy, which was published last year to widespread acclaim and has been shortlisted for a number of literary awards. Claire's come in to talk to us about the book and a few cheery things like nuclear apocalypse and the refugee crisis and the end of civilization, stuff like that. Welcome to the program, Claire.
Thank you for having me.
Just to give a brief outline of the plot, it follows 17-year-old Finn, who lives in the Blue Mountains with his little brother Max, his dad and his stepmother, and whose everyday concerns, school assignments, a crush on a girl at school, are interrupted forever when a nuclear disaster plunges the world into a kind of nuclear winter without sunlight or electricity or food and water supplies or, you know, much of a future. It's a scarily realistic read. It's very well written and even funny at times. I actually missed my stop on the train once while reading it, which means it must be good. So Claire, tell us about how you came to write The Sky So Heavy. Where did it come from?
My stories tend to come from lots of different places. I've had a long time fascination with the idea of a nuclear winter from when I was in high school myself, and we had to read a book called Children of the Dust by Louise Lawrence. And it focuses more on like a Cold War kind of situation where Britain is attacked with nuclear weapons. I like to write about things that scare me. The scenario of a nuclear winter has always kind of lingered in the back of my head.
And why teen fiction? Why did you decide to write
fiction?
In that genre?
I really like teenage characters. Mm-hmm. Teenagers inherently have very complex lives, and they are very adult in so many ways, but they're not quite adults. And I think that puts them in a really interesting place to write from. They're kind of still in the process of becoming who they are. And we all kind of are in that process, but I think it's more accentuated for teenagers.
Yeah. And, I mean, you decided to write it from the perspective of a 17-year-old male narrator. It's an interesting choice.
Yes, I'm not a 17-year-old male. Mm. The manuscript that I'd worked on before this one was a 15-year-old girl, and I wanted to write from a first-person perspective again, but I wanted to get into... I needed a completely different voice to hers, and I was concerned that if I wrote from a female perspective again, that I would slip into her voice. So the easiest way to kind of flip that is to go for a male voice.
It seemed like the world was in hibernation. There were no birds calling, no breeze ruffling the trees, no cars passing down the street. No kids squealing, no lawnmowers. It wasn't like the pause before a breath. It was like the world had suffocated. I lifted my face to the cold, unfamiliar face of the sky and walked up the hill. I wondered where else it was snowing. Was it snowing in the city? Was it snowing in Perth? Adelaide? It was impossible to gauge the seriousness of the whole thing without any information from the outside world. Like being blindfolded in deep water and not knowing where the edge was. Mum used to talk about going on holidays to the country where she was a kid. No television, no phone. It was like taking a break from the rest of the world for 2 weeks, she said. A war could start and you wouldn't even know about it until you got back. I used to struggle to imagine living without even a mobile. Surely the electricity was back up somewhere. It was just the mountains left in the dark, wasn't it? If things got bad, Mum would come back for us. I clung to that while I trod water in the deep. Where the line was between this and bad, I didn't know.
That was from Claire Zorn's book, The Sky So Heavy. In your book, Claire, you've got quite a few mentions of other books or films that have some relevance to what you're writing. I see reference Cormac McCarthy's The Road, which is a bit of a favourite of mine, I have to admit. Heart of Darkness, Coen Brothers films. Yeah. Were these works or others an inspiration for The Sky So Heavy?
Coen Brothers films, again, they really frightened me. So I think the most scared I've ever been watching a film was Fargo, that eerie, rural kind of thing that they often tap into. Heart of Darkness has been a huge influence on me, not so much in terms of writing, but just in, I suppose, worldview kind of stuff, the way it looks at humanity. Questions it asks about humanity have always stuck with me from when I read it in high school.
Yeah, that's a very influential book in, on all sorts of people, isn't it? Now, the Sky So Heavy features a Christian character, though it's not the main character. Tell us about him and why you put him in it, and you're a person of faith yourself, right?
So Noel is the Christian character in the book. Noel initially came from a memory I have of primary school and a boy that was in my primary school class who was just mercilessly bullied and victimised, and who one day put his head through a window because he was so frustrated by what was happening. And I later met up with that guy when I was in university, and his story was pretty bleak. And he was kind of coming out the other side of some fairly tough stuff. And so I suppose I really looked at kind of long-term effects of that kind of situation, of people being treated that way. I wasn't generally one of his bullies, but I certainly never put my hand up to, you know, intervene. He didn't kind of become a Christian in the story for a little while. I suppose I feel a huge frustration with secular arts and media in the representation of Christian characters, because often they're just really inaccurate, I suppose. I don't know any Christians like the ones that I've, you know, seen in films or read in books, who are often seem to be defined by these rules that they lived by. Whereas, I mean, for me, the reality of being a Christian is living my life is defined by the grace of God and Christ. So for Noel, I suppose I wanted to create a character that was more realistic, and his experience of being a Christian is more realistic. The other thing about him is he's not a total people person, so he doesn't have great people skills. He doesn't, I don't think he particularly likes being around other people. So I really wanted to kind of tap into that idea of what it's kind of like for him to live with this faith, but a faith that he finds difficult at times.
There's a way you could do that as a novelist and it'd be pretty clunky.
Yeah.
But you seem to have been able to weave this in nicely in a very natural way.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to write because he doesn't have a degree in theology. You know, he's a 17-year-old guy, so his faith isn't super mature or sophisticated.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. We're speaking with Claire Zorn, who recently wrote a post-apocalyptic novel for teens called The Sky So Heavy. Claire, it seems like some version of post-apocalypse is almost the standard mode for teen fiction these days. Why do you think it's such an appealing scenario for writers and for readers?
For me, I think coming from my own experience, I haven't read a lot of dystopian kind of fiction other than, you know, the one I mentioned earlier, Children of the Dust and things like The Hunger Games. And teenagers are at a point in their lives when they're looking at the world and really asking questions about it. For me, I mean, I can only refer back to my own experience and what I was like when I was 17, and I was just kind of very disillusioned with the way the world was, and I just felt it was an absolute mess, and I really wondered how sustainable it was. And I suppose I asked myself a lot of kind of what if kind of questions, and I think maybe that's what dystopian kind of stuff taps into. I think also you tend to have teenage characters who find themselves in positions sometimes of not necessarily power, but they find themselves in positions where they're a lot more independent in these kind of scenarios than they are actually in real everyday life. And I think maybe that's appealing as well.
Mm. That does open up a whole lot of possibilities, doesn't it, for them in the way the story can unfold. Now, of course, nuclear winter rather than, you know, climate change or zombies or something. It's a bit, you don't get as much of that these days. It was more, you know, when I was a kid, to be honest. Is there a reason you can't you chose that kind of apocalypse? And is that is the particular cause of the collapse of civilization important to the story itself?
I wanted to find a scenario that would put everyday middle-class Australians in the position of asylum seekers and refugees. I suppose I'm like a lot of other Australians at the moment, and I'm quite concerned about Australia's treatment of asylum seekers. And I really feel a lot of the time what's lacking in the debate is compassion. It seems to be fueled by fear mainly, more than anything else. And yeah, I wanted to find a way to put a middle-class Australian in that situation and kind of ask the question, what if it were you, what would you do? So I needed a scenario that would be kind of cataclysmic.
So Claire, you must get a bit of feedback on this. What are you hearing that teenagers particularly are getting from the book? Does it match up with what you're sort of hoping they'd get?
Yeah, I think so. The response has been really good. The thing I really like about writing for teenagers is that when they like something, they really, really like it, and that's really nice. They've been particularly responsive to ideas about living without technology and imagining themselves in situations where they don't have Wi-Fi or a phone and there's no information coming in, and they're kind of in a place of confusion and isolation. I think that concept is quite alien and interesting to them. The refugee stuff, I think also, I think it has had a bit of an impact, but it's hard to say. Most of the feedback tends to be more about living without technology.
Which for a teenager, that's the only disaster you really need to talk about.
Yeah, right? It's pretty extraordinary. When I speak to groups of teenagers or groups of students, I try and get them to imagine what they would do in a scenario like the one that's presented, and they often say things like, oh, find out, you know, from the newspaper what's going on if you can't access the internet. And then I kind of have to say, well, no, there's no printing press, so there's no newspaper either.
You know, they used to tell me I could do anything, my parents. They said I could be anything, do anything I wanted to do, as long as I worked hard for it. I believed it. I believed that if I worked hard enough, I could get a spot at the Sydney Conservatory of Music. I would become a composer because, you know, there are lots of jobs around for that now. I thought I was entitled to it. Just like I thought I was entitled to good food and a nice house and nice clothes. My family had 3 sponsor kids, for God's sake. Surely that entitled me to a nice, cushy life. Do you ever think about how distorted your view of life used to be? Like my mum used to say that the greatest tragedy was someone who didn't make use of their talents and live up to their full potential. The greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy is children dying of starvation, don't you think? Who cares if they can play the piano?
So Claire, the story isn't exactly over necessarily at the end of The Sky Is So Heavy. What's the plan? Do you have more books planned, and when might we expect to read them?
I have another book coming out in August of this year called The Protected. It has nothing at all to do with The Sky Is So Heavy, other than that it's set in the Blue Mountains again, and it's teenage characters. I haven't planned a sequel or anything as yet. After spending so much time in the headspace of a nuclear winter, I'm quite keen to have a good break from it because it's a little draining. So no plans as yet, but I haven't ruled anything out.
Okay, good for readers to know.
Yeah.
We've been speaking with Claire Zorn, author of The Sky So Heavy. We highly recommend this book for all ages, really. Congratulations again on the book, Claire, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So when people need to relate to one another, you need to kind of be, you know, seeing the same picture and relating to each other with the truth.
I wouldn't recommend lying to your family. Obviously, there's no need to, but maybe at work.
I think lying's okay as long as it's with good intentions. So as long as you're helping someone or covering for someone.
There's some comments from the streets of Sydney about the question of lying. Is it ever okay to lie? Why or why not? And if so, when? Join us next time on Life and Faith for a discussion of the complexities and the consequences associated with telling or not telling the truth. It's a fascinating topic. We look forward to seeing you then.